Venture family. I'm excited today to be launching a brand new sermon series. It's called The Real Jesus. And I can't think of a better time to be placing our eyes, our focus on the real Jesus that kicks off today. The title of today's message is God Come Near. We mean this as a declaration. We also mean this as a prayer. God, we need you right now. We need to feel your presence in a powerful way. Would you show yourself to us today in power? I want to tell you a story that I bet you have heard a version of this story at some point, but I want to bring it right now into kind of the contemporary moment we're in. So in a once upon a time in a land not so far away, there was kind of a global crisis kind of a moment. Does this story feel familiar to you? People are worried literally around the globe about a virus. There's a family that lives locally. And this family has a mom and a dad, two kids, a handsome young man, boy, and a cute little girl with piggy tails. And the whole family has been kind of hunkered down together in a home. This is starting to feel really familiar, I'm sure. Mom and dad are working from home. They've brought their offices home. They're kind of quarantined. And then the kids are doing their e-learning. Moms, dads, I feel you. I feel the stress level that you're feeling right now. The TV is just kind of playing in the background because this is what we tend to do as humans in these kind of eras. The news is on, and there are scary words that are being said on the news, and the kids are hearing it. Moms and dads, don't be afraid to turn the TV off. But it's the day, and it goes through the day, and at the end of the day, we've got that moment where it's bedtime, and the cute little girl and the handsome young man, they watch online. Actually, their children's pastor reads a story to them, and it's time for bed. After that, they get tucked into bed. About the third time, the cute little piggy-tailed girl walks down the steps, and she asks for another drink of water. Mom gets wise, and she remembers in that moment the TV's been playing all day, and so she asks the little girl, "What's wrong?" "I'm scared, Mommy." And she goes cerebral. This is what we do. "Well, sweetheart, there's nothing to be scared of. I'm here. Daddy's downstairs. We're here. There's nothing to be scared about." And then in a moment, a stroke of genius, she said, "And Jesus. Jesus is here as well. He's with you in this moment. He's present." And she doesn't even blink, this cute piggy-tailed little girl. She looks at Mom and she says, "Mommy, yeah. But sometimes I need Jesus with some skin on him." I don't know about you, but that's what I'm feeling right now. I need to be reminded of the truth. God, come near. Would you show yourself in a powerful way right now? Speaking of power, I was having a conversation yesterday with one of my boys. We were talking about theological terms, those omni words. Perhaps you're familiar with some of these words. There's the word omnipotent. We believe this to be true about our God, that our God is all-powerful. There's another word. We call it omniscient. This means all-knowing. By the way, this means that this moment in history did not catch our God off guard any more than the Spanish flu in 1918 caught him off guard, or the Great Plague of London, or smallpox epidemics, or cholera epidemics. These didn't catch him off guard because our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Another omni word, I love this one. Omnipresent, which means that God is all everywhere. This is the truth of our God that we're leaning into today as we ask God, come near. By the way, we're going to wrap the sermon time up by gathering together like we always do around the Lord's table. We're going to celebrate communion together. So if you have not yet grabbed the gear that you're going to need for that later, make sure you've got something to chew on that reminds you of Jesus' body broken. Make sure you've got a little something for each person that's in the space that they can drink. It could be milk, it could be juice, it could be water. And we're going to celebrate that powerful moment together later at the end of the service. And invite God, God, come near. So go ahead and get geared up for that right now. In the meantime, I want to share with you three true, you might even call them three trustworthy statements about God's presence. And if you're taking notes, and I say this all the time, I hope you are, go grab a piece of paper and write these true statements down. Maybe you want to post them up on the refrigerator later and to be reminding yourself this next week about our God who comes near. These are three trustworthy statements. Here's the first one. God came near. Now, you probably noticed the tense structure in that sentence. God came near is past tense. It's true. We read our Bibles and we see over and over again times, moments in human history when God came near. I bet I know what you're thinking right now. You're flashing back on 3 months ago, roughly, when we celebrated together as a church family that true statement that God came near. This sounds an awful lot like the Christmas story, the incarnation, where our Prince of Peace became our Emmanuel, God with us. That's good. We should be thinking about that right now. And actually, this is not a bad time for us as families even to be remembering the powerful symbols that we celebrate together during the Christmas season. I saw a friend the other day actually put his Christmas tree back up to remind himself God is present. That's not a bad idea. Hey, let me give you some homework assignments right now. We're doing e-learning at home right now. We're working from home. And I bet if your family is anything like ours, you're looking for activities, things to do to pass the time and stimulate the brain and keep you busy and maybe even have a little bit of fun. Let me encourage you this afternoon. Here's a homework assignment. Why don't you, when this service is done, why don't you go scouring around the house and see if you can find some white elephant gifts? You might even grab one of those Christmas presents that you received as a gift, and this is your opportunity to re-gift that baby. And go ahead and wrap them up and gather together. Maybe it's around the Christmas or around the dinner table, or maybe it's in your living room. And do maybe a white elephant gift exchange, or if you want to have some fun, maybe do it as a dirty Santa strategy where you can kind of steal each other's presents. That's fun. Do that. Laugh together as a family and be reminded of the truth that God came near. He did it during the Christmas season. He did it all throughout the Bible, actually. Hey, if you're joining us from a distance, perhaps, and you're not typically a part of our church family, you should know that what we've been doing this year and what we plan to do all year long is what we call a Core 52 strategy. It's a book. It's a resource that we've leaned into, basically as a strategy to stretch the sermon out all week long. And each week I preach a message and then we do some work together during the week, one of the chapters out of that book. This week we're looking at chapter 32, which is on page 214. It's called The Incarnation. And can I encourage you, if you're coming to us from a distance, well, you might want to go ahead and jump on Amazon and you can order that book there. Or maybe you live locally and you'd like us to send you one. We have paper copies. Actually, you should know right up here in the header somewhere, there is a button that says COVID-19. I'm going to give you several next steps during this message. You could click that button. It'll open up a form that'll give you all kinds of opportunities for next steps, including, shoot, we could even send you one of those books. That's a great resource for you right there. By the way, if you're doing that this week, I'm going to encourage you to pay special attention to day number 5. There are some great strategies for families that are cooped up together. Day number 5 this week, don't miss that opportunity. Life skills. The verse we're memorizing this week is about the incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you're doing the scripture memory, that's the one you're going to want to memorize. But I don't want to hyper-focus too much just on the Christmas story, because truth be told, God shows up in powerful ways all through the Bible. There's a fancy theological term for this, and one of these days when we're back to going to dinner parties, maybe you could throw this word out and impress one of your friends. The fancy word is the word theophany, and literally this means a visible manifestation to humankind of God. We see theophanies all through the Bible, places where God shows up, God comes near. Actually, there's this myth in our Christian subculture that the Bible, we're kind of New Testament Christians, and we kind of tend to think of the Bible, the Old Testament, well, this is God's junior varsity days, right? He hasn't quite practiced out everything, and he kind of gets called up to the big leagues, and he comes to the varsity team in the New Testament, and that's when we see him show up in a powerful way. not true. This is a myth. God shows up in powerful ways in the Old Testament. Actually, I think Jesus shows up many times in the Old Testament. Now, this is my opinion. It's my opinion. But my opinion would be that anytime you're reading through the Old Testament and you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, in my opinion, this is Jesus showing up in a powerful way to encourage God's people in the flesh. I want to show you one of those moments that I think is a theophany. I believe this is God showing up in the flesh in a powerful way. And I don't think I'm the only one who thinks this. We're going to bounce back and forth between the New Testament and the Old Testament. So you might go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 14. Stick your finger in that passage, but go back right now to Hebrews chapter 6. The Hebrew writer, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't think it's Paul. Some people have thought it's Paul, but I don't think the syntax and the grammar of the Greek would reflect that this is Paul. Some people think that this might have even been a female leader in the early church. Some people have proposed this might be Priscilla. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we do know who they were writing to. They were writing to Jewish people who needed to tie their faith, their God in the Old Testament, to the current reality of who Jesus says he is and who they worship in the New Testament. This is happening, and it's pretty important for us to notice the language in this particular verse today, because I don't know about you, but I am looking for hope. The Hebrew writer says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." We're going to talk about that curtain that gets torn when Jesus is crucified on the cross. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Hold on to that thought. Where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek who? I'm glad you asked. Melchizedek is this fascinating character from the Old Testament. We're going to look at him there in just a minute. But the Hebrew writer goes on and talks about him. See, as we read about him right now, if he reminds you of anybody. Hebrews chapter 7 says this, "This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings." Let's pause right there for a second. What's going on? Abraham, if you read about this in Genesis chapter 14, basically his nephew, Lot, is captured. And he's carried off in captivity up to the north part of what we would refer to as the Holy Land now, up north of the Sea of Galilee. And Abraham opens up a can, if you will. He goes up there with all of his household, and he wages war on these chieftains up there, and he wins, right? After he met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Perhaps you remember a few weeks ago we talked about tithing. A tenth is a worship offering. First, this Melchizedek, his name means king of righteousness. Righteousness, who does that remind you of? Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. So righteousness and peace, does this remind you of anybody? Without father or mother, this blows my mind. Without genealogy, does that sound like anybody you know? Without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus here. He remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Abraham tithes to Melchizedek. So what's going on here, the plunder? Well, I'm glad you asked. He goes up north side of the Sea of Galilee, grabs Lot, brings him back. Through that, he's going around and he's meeting with several places, physical places, places that archaeology has uncovered even here recently. There's the biblical city of Dan up there. It wasn't called Dan back in Abraham's day. It was actually underneath that city. There's a much older city that's actually called Laish. I've been there. I want to show you a picture of that right now. That's me several years ago, standing in front of the ancient city of Laish. That's the front door of Laish. These are the steps that they've uncovered. Listen, this blows my mind. I think this is so cool. It is quite likely that Father Abraham, in the story that we read about in Genesis chapter 14, he walked right up those steps through that front gate, and he interacted with the church elder or the city elders there. during this military campaign that we read about. Let's skip down to verse 17 of chapter 14 in Genesis. After Abram, he wasn't called Abraham yet, but after Abram returned from defeating, let's just call him King K, because I can't pronounce that, and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom, came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva. Okay, so we've got two characters right now. Abraham is meeting together with the king of Sodom. Where are they meeting? In the valley of Sheva. And then there's a parenthetical note in the Old Testament there. That is the king's valley. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back to it. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Enter this third character. We just read about him in Hebrews. Melchizedek. What's he bring out? Bread and wine. Does that remind you of anything? Those are communion elements. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying these words. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth, a tithe, of everything. Do you get what's happening here? I think there's a worship service that's happening right there in the King's Valley. Where's the King's Valley? Let me see if I can bring all this together. Because I think this blew the minds of the people who read the book of Hebrews when they read this story and they started piecing together what happened. Let me show you where the King's Valley is. It's actually right over here. I know that that picture is maybe a little bit difficult to see, but let me explain what you're looking at right there. I took that photo several years ago. I'm facing south. Behind me as I take the picture to the north is the Temple Mount, the ruins of the temple that Jesus would have worshipped in the first century. I'm standing in Jerusalem. I'm actually taking a picture here of what's known as the City of David. David, King David. He becomes king of Israel, Israel's second king, and he sees the ancient city of Jebus. The Jebusites lived there. He wanted that for his capital city. So he sent in his mighty men, and it's an incredible story. They should make a movie about it one of these days. And his mighty men come up through a cistern, they come up through the waterworks, and they capture the city. David makes that his capital, and he lived right there in that space, built on the Jebusite city. And he's overlooking from his palace, he's looking down into a valley. It's the King's Valley. In Jesus' day, it was described as the Kidron Valley. When I walked from this space, when I took this picture down to this space right in front of the City of David, I took this photograph looking across the Kidron Valley up at the Mount of Olives. Jesus talks about whitewashed tombs. You're looking at some of them from the first century right there in that picture. Then the next picture I want to show you, I'm actually standing on the Mount of Olives and I'm taking a picture back the other direction across the Kidron Valley, across the King's Valley. This is the Temple Mount here. This is the City of David you just saw a picture of. The night he was betrayed, the night the first communion service happened, Thursday night. Jesus left the upper room somewhere up over in this area, and he walked down through the Kidron Valley and across to the Mount of Olives, the base of the Mount of Olives, where I'm standing when I took this picture right here. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he made that walk, when he left the upper room, when he said, "This is my body broken for you, this is my blood shed for you," it is quite likely that he walked within a few hundred yards, if not through the exact same spot where Abraham gathered with Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the king of Sodom, and where Abraham tithed and had communion elements together with this, in my opinion, a theophany. Jesus showing up in a powerful way, present in the Old Testament. I'm going to invite you just to think about that and chew on that this next week. That, to me, is a powerful idea of how God came near. And it wasn't just in that moment, but if you open up your Bible and you look through the Old Testament, you find all kinds of moments when God came near. Physically, he was present. But it's not just past tense, because God still comes near. And I'm talking here present tense. And I don't know about you, but I desperately need to be reminded of that truth today. The world feels a little bit crazy. Actually, just yesterday, my family got some tough news. My wife's grandmother passed away yesterday. And I'm reminded of the truth that God still comes near. She's with Jesus. She's in heaven, worshiping with him today. But those of us who are left behind, we need to be reminded of the truth that God still comes near. And he comforts those that are grieving. And he spends time with those who are hurting. God comes near. So I don't know what you're feeling right now, but could I just encourage you, would you settle back into your couch? Maybe take a deep breath, and I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let God do the talking. I want to read some passages of Scripture that illustrate the truth that God is in the business still of coming near. Psalm 91, which was probably written in the location, the picture that I just showed you a minute ago. He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Masadah, my mighty fortress, my God in whom I trust. Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. I kid you not. I'm literally typing those words into my computer. I've got my Bible open to that passage of Scripture this past week. I glance out my office window. Guess what I saw? A bird. I've been watching a nest that's in a tree right outside my office window, and I've been wondering what kind of a bird is going to show up there. Well, come to find out, it's a dove. And just a day before that, I looked out that same window, and I saw this picture. Some of you recognize the scene that we're looking at there, and it was a hawk. And I couldn't get a great picture of it, but every once in a while he'd reach his arms out and I'd see those talons. Here's the deal. A dove is a symbol of peace. A hawk is a symbol of power. And I needed to be reminded this past week, maybe you need to be reminded as well, God comes in peace and he comes in power. But he does come. He shows up. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? This past week, my family and I, we took a field trip. We went to a garden center. A family in our church owns a greenhouse, a commercial greenhouse. And we walked around and we saw all of these flowers in bloom. By the way, if you'd like to see that yourself, go to my Facebook page. I posted it up there. And it was so good to be reminded that even though it feels like winter, hear me, spring is coming. God's presence, he shows up in powerful ways. Isaiah chapter 41 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth because I'm present. Psalm 112 says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. And will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. Some of us need to hear that today. Jesus speaks specific words to his disciples. That night I just described to you and I showed you the path that he walked through the city to the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before that moment, he's gathered together with his disciples and he's telling them, listen, I'm getting ready to go away. And they're frightened. They're afraid. They're scared. And he says this to them in John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you where I'm going so that I can prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. You know the place, the way to the place where I'm going. He's basically saying, you know, that's through me. And then if you skip down a few verses, he says this, I'm not really going. I've not really gone anywhere, because I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And I just wonder. I wonder if there's somebody that's joining us right now, and you hear language like that, Jesus talking about going to prepare a place for you, that there's a bedroom in heaven somewhere with your name on it, and you just ask yourself the question, I'm not sure if I'm confident of that. And I just want to let you know, you can be confident of that. You can make a decision to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. And your eternity can be secure in him. If I'm talking to you right now, and you would like to process that with somebody else, one of our staff pastors would love to connect with you. You can click that button that says COVID-19. There's a next step there that says, I want to pray with a pastor. I want to talk with somebody. We would love for you to fill that out, and we're going to connect with you. We'd love to walk you through the steps of what it means to walk into saving grace with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we'd like to encourage you with some next steps, some early steps in your walk with Jesus. How can we walk with you? Simply a big brother or a big sister in this family of God. And how can we encourage you? Please, if I'm talking to you right now, take that action step. We would love nothing more than to get to connect with you in person. So we've been reminded that God came near, that he still comes near. Now what? Well, God is still coming near. How? Well, no pressure, church, but he's coming near today in and through you. James chapter 4 says it this way, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Do you feel like God is distant? Maybe he's not the one that's moved. Wash your hands. Not to be too cute here, but I've loved this passage. I've giggled in my office this past week every time I've read this. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Can I just say this? I've been washing my hands an awful lot over the last couple of weeks. I bet you have as well. Singing happy birthday 2 times through 20 seconds, we're supposed to be washing your hands. Listen, every time you wash your hands for the next few days, I hope that you're reminded that God came near. God is still in the business of coming near. And now what? How do we respond? I'm glad you asked. We respond in two ways. First of all, we wash our hands. This is, we deal with the sin, that dirty stuff in our lives. Number one, we wash our hands. And we're going to do that here in a moment. We're going to gather together around the Lord's table, and we're going to spend some time confessing our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. We wash our hands. Step number two, we wash their feet. This is where we serve. This is where we roll up our sleeves and we be the church, literally the hands and the feet of Jesus as he's called us to be. And church, can I challenge you? Today is the time to be doing that. Our world desperately needs to see Jesus in us and through us. So where is he present? Where does he show up? I'm so glad you asked. Well, the question would be, who and where are you feeling stress? Let's talk about where he shows up. He shows up in finances. The stock market is taking a tumble right now, and it's scaring people to death. God shows up. He shows up in your fears. Hey, are you a business owner, small business owners? Can I just say this? God is present. He sees you. And oh, by the way, we see you as well. I heard a phrase this past week. I love this phrase. This is so good. Panic doesn't serve anyone, but planning does. So we do our part, right? We do the work that God has called us to do, and then we trust him for the rest because we've been trusting him all along anyway. I've heard some reports from some of us that, listen, we're worried about losing our job. Some of us, I've heard, have lost their job. And listen, I just want to tell you, we see you. And God sees you. He's present. He's with you. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Speaking of finances, You probably know that we have a food pantry here at our church. We've had one for years, and it's an incredible ministry here. This past week, I had a moment. You know that moment when you're driving down the road and you know you're not speeding, but you see a police officer and it kind of causes your heart to skip a beat? This happened to me. I wasn't driving. I was standing in my office doing some work. I hear a throat being cleared and I look up and I see a full uniformed police officer. He's got a gun, he's got the badge, he's got a taser, he's standing there and he's holding a white envelope in his hand. And he says, are you Reverend Killebrew? Listen, I mean no disrespect by this, but if you call me Reverend Killebrew, we're probably not best buds yet. Nobody calls me that. I'm looking around, is my dad standing here? Nope. Oh yeah, I guess that's me. He starts walking toward me, and he's got this white envelope in his hand, and my eyes are drawn to that. You know how your heart skips a beat, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've never gotten a summons before. What is in that? I'm sure my marriage is on solid footing right now. What's going on with this? He said, well, the mayor of Carmel wanted me to deliver this to you. And this is a gift from our community, and it's going to resource your food pantry. We've got four of them in our community, and so this is some funds from our city government. Well, this went on the news that night, and if you're a business owner, you know all about supply and demand. We started getting worried, well, excited, actually, because we want to serve folks in our community. But we were worried as a church community, is supply going to, is demand going to outpace supply? And so we got the word out and we let many of you know, listen, we need help. And many of you went shopping and you got food to be delivered to the food pantry. And so the food pantry can serve people whose finances are hurting right now. God shows up. He comes near through finances. We've transformed the lobby space of the church building here. Typically, we serve you coffee in that space. Right now, we're serving food to people who desperately need it through that space. By the way, we've had a bunch of volunteers step up and say, I'm willing to serve. I think we've got plenty of volunteers right now. But if you hit that same link, that COVID-19 link, you can actually, or go to our website, the front page of our website, you can find a link there to sign up to bring food. And you should know that when you drop it off, we've got an airlock at door number one, and you can put food inside that space. While you're out shopping for groceries for your family, if you want to get some for our food pantry, you can drop them off there. We'll make sure those are distributed because God shows up in financial need. This past week, I heard a cool story. Perhaps you remember that last November, we did this cool thing in this space that I'm standing in right now. We worshiped our God by singing, and at the same time, we worshiped our God by packing meals for people that need it. IDES, International Disaster Emergency Services, is a missionary that we support globally, and literally they're local as well. And I heard a report this past week that some kids that free and reduced lunch kids that typically get a hot meal at school, that wasn't happening. So IDES deployed meals just like the ones that we packed to serve them in their homes. I love that because God shows up. He's present in finances. Where else does he show up? He's present in our families as well. And we need to hear this right now because I'm getting it. We're all kind of confined in the space together, and we're awfully close. And family togetherness taken to an extreme can become a hard thing to wrestle. Listen, let me say it this way. In our family, there's seven of us. Let me just say it this way. Our Wi-Fi system is taking a beating right now with e-learning, and I'm trying to work from home, and families. God shows up. He's present in your family. We blew past a holiday last week, one of my favorite holidays. We walk around typically and pinch people when they're not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day. Tuesday, I think, was St. Patrick's Day, and that St. Patrick was an actual dude in history. And God used him in some amazing ways. One of these days, I'll talk about that. But he's got this prayer that's been recorded for us and passed down throughout time. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. This is a pretty good prayer for families that are confined together right now. It goes like this. Christ, be with me. Christ, within me. Christ, behind me. Christ, before me. Christ, beside me. Christ, to win me. Christ, to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. You kind of get the idea. Jesus is supposed to be in everything. So moms and dads, brothers and sisters, lean in to love one another in your homes this week. Preach Christ. Preach Christ as you're washing the dishes. Preach Christ as you're watching the news. Preach Christ as you're turning off the news. Preach Christ. And use words if you have to. Jesus shows up in immediate needs. I'm so proud of our staff and our elder team. They've shown up in biblical proportion ways this past week. The book of James talks about true religion, true faith is taking care of widows and orphans. I had a great phone call yesterday with my friend Rose. Rose, if you're joining us in worship right now, I'm so glad that you're with us. We chatted on the phone yesterday for a little while, and I got off the phone, and I thought she still needs a little bit of tech support to join us in worship. And I sent a text message out to our elders, and one of them said, "You bet, I'll reach out to her. We'll connect with her." And I love that. Listen, church family, reach out to everyone else in the church family right now. Check in on the elderly. Pray for our healthcare workers. Encourage them. This is a great time for Jesus to show up in you and through you through immediate needs. He shows up in loneliness. Jesus is closer than a brother, the Bible tells us. Your church desires to be the same way as well. Can we just talk about social distancing? I'm starting to hate that phrase. What we need is physical distancing. In this crisis, we need physical distancing, but we also need social intimacy. So let's not get cut off from our community. Lean in to community right now. We keep talking about these Facebook pages. Please join us there. There's great community happening there. I talked last week about the one another's of the New Testament. There's 59 of them. I'm seeing many of those play out online in incredible Christian community. Join us there, VCC online community. Great things are happening. Jesus shows up not just in our loneliness, but also in our fear. Your job, church, hear me on this. Your job is to be present in other people's fears. Can I challenge you right now? Watch your social media posts. Be careful with "the sky is falling," those kinds of posts, and critical spirit posts. Remember, perfect love casts out fear. This is a time to be leading with love because Jesus is still king. He's still on his throne. And here's the deal. Our world desperately needs to see that in us and through us because we are his hands and feet. He shows up in our fear. He shows up in our worry. The Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Are you worried? Go back a few weeks in the sermon archive. We talked about that from the Sermon on the Mount just a couple of weeks ago. I want to finish my sermon up. The service isn't done. We're going to do communion. But I want to focus on a passage of Scripture. We started in Hebrews, and I want to end in Hebrews because there's a great reminder to be found here. In Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this language. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place." What's the most holy place? It's that space in the temple, first century. This group of believers this letter is being written to, they recognize this space as the place where God's presence resides. People don't get to go into that space. Actually, one guy, one time of year, goes into that space. The high priest on the feast day of Yom Kippur, he walks in there, and you think you're sick of washing your hands for 20 seconds over and over again? Go to the book of Leviticus and read what kind of purification and ritual purification this guy had to go through to walk into that space to encounter God's presence in the most holy space. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain." The curtain was torn when Jesus was crucified. That is his body. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and have our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess." Listen, are you professing hope? Get out there on social media. Shout it from the mountaintops. I've loved seeing the pictures, the selfies you've been taking with the video screen in the background. Last week you did this and you said the church has left the building, but we were made for this. Do more of that because the world needs to see it. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Listen, the church is not closed. My goodness, no. We get to go out there, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, this service right now, we will be rebroadcasting this today at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Would you do me a favor and jump online and share this with your friends? Maybe you've got an email that we sent you this past week. You could forward that to friends. You could go on social media. Let people know there's somebody you've been wanting to invite to church. This is a great opportunity to do it. We're going to host that chat space at 2 o'clock today and 4 o'clock today. Use this as a tool to invite somebody to join you for church. Get it out there. Let them know. And join us next week online for church at venturecarmel.online.church. Next week, we're going to continue in this series talking about the real Jesus. Next week, the title of the message is The Boss, because we're going to look at King Jesus, this idea that we are in a kingdom and that there is a king. He's the boss. Do you need to hear that he's in control right now? We're going to talk about that next week. Make sure you come back and join us. We're going to spend time in communion. So gather up your stuff. We're going to celebrate the body of Jesus and his blood shed. And I want to remind you that God is present in you and he's present through you. This applies now more than ever. So I want to leave you with this quote by John Wesley. I love this quote. Do all the good you can. By all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. May the world see Jesus in us and through us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the truth that you come near. And right now, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes and we get ready to celebrate this ancient ritual that reminds us of your presence, we beg you, come near, hear our prayers, and speak loudly to us. We're eager to hear.